Hello, all you awakeners and alchemists of energy and reality. This is Sheen, certified health and energy coach, essential oil specialist, and trauma removal expert. And today we have with us the magnificent intergalactic adventurer, author, intent embodier of the authentic, organic, and natural expressions of life, and woman of wisdom, Allison Spencer.
Wow, Sheen, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
A little bit more. During a rebuilding phase of her life, after a massive and thorough deconstruction, and who cannot relate to that, right? She became determined to no longer build a life on hopium. I love that word, hopium. So she created her now famous list of F-bombs. That's focus, foundation, feeling, food, fitness, finances, and fun. So while pulling energy from each of these transformative F words, we're going to jump into the meaning of sovereignty, which is a super hot topic in the world of spirituality, and we'll receive more clarity about how consent plays a vital role in sovereignty and what we can each do to create our own organic timelines from our natural sovereign expression of inner wholeness and unity. No pressure there, Allison.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. So you've had some really interesting awarenesses about timelines. And I would love to hear a little bit about what brought you to this moment in time and what it was that you discovered.
Great question. And thank you for that awesome introduction. I'm so excited to dive into this. Timelines, what came to my awareness when I recognized that I was living on a synthetic timeline. And that happened with the collapse of the relationship that I had with my son's father. And what I needed to do to tease that apart, how to separate the synthetic from the organic. It was a long journey of inner work. Massive number of journals that one day I'll go through and see if I can still glean some more nuggets from that. But it's something that's been present with me for most of the last decade as I've looked at how I can realign with my originally intended organic timeline. I feel that this is a massive area of imposition, and I'm going to take a leap here and assume that your listeners are mostly congruent with these topics. So I think we all recognize when we experience even subtle forms of imposition, we don't know what they are necessarily. It's hard to identify sometimes, but we just have that sense that this isn't quite right. And with each subtle movement, I've come to feel that these bump us between timelines. So if I get knocked off a little bit here, I have a day that's not quite right, I'm not sure which timeline I'm riding. And right now, what's really affecting all of us is we have many timelines that are vying for primacy, meaning there's a lot going on. People are all over the map. We keep getting triggered by fear. And so we end up not recognizing that we are contributing to that particular timeline. And then when we kind of pull ourselves back, we regroup, we contribute to another timeline. So it's that adage of where focus goes, energy flows. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the sovereignty piece that I'll get to in a moment. But for the timelines, it's a global situation where we're being fed a narrative that those who are invested in that narrative want us to co-create, because they can't. They can only replicate. They are not creator beings. So they require us, our focus, our assistance, our buying their narrative to create the timeline that they have going. keep them empowered, keep things going in their direction. Now, I like to think of it as the home shopping network, where you've got this timeline for sale. And then over here, we have a special on this timeline. And maybe we have 2-for-1 timelines today. Just what can we get you to buy? What fright can we sell you? Because fear is their only card. The only card they can play in all shades of gray is fear. And they trigger our fear because we have been fragmented. Every traumatic event fragments us. And the reintegration process closes the door to the triggers they can push. So that again feeds into the sovereignty piece of it. But the timelines, it's almost like a timeline war in a way. I feel a couple of years ago now, I came into an awareness. It was sort of like an instant memory flood. I was quite angry in the moment, wondering who was feeding us this narrative. And I mean, we all know who, but I mean, like, who, like the bigger picture.
Who's behind that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And behind that and all the layers. And I came to this moment of absolute just grr. And I had a flood of memories that we had been here before. The planet, the people, mm-hmm. humanity had been here before. And before. And we are at this critical juncture. Many of us have returned for exactly this time once again. Mm-hmm. It accounts for the weariness. Do you know so many of us are so
again
weary? Again. And I had a really good friend ask me, why did we lose before? Because we lost every time we've lost. And I recognized that it was because we took the game to them. We played on their field. And this time it's an inside game. It's an inside game. We reintegrate. We walk the timeline that we intended for ourselves for this incarnation. And we do that with integrity because we are integrated. So that's, again, the integration is the sovereignty, is the sovereignty component.
I have a quick question. You mentioned that they, the ones who would like to direct the timelines that we're taking, are only replicators and not co-creators. And that's a key insight. Could you express your points of view about that?
Sure. The beings that are forwarding the narrative, the control, all the control mechanisms, you know, humanity is seen as a resource, a natural resource, much like cattle. That analogy is frequently used. These beings do not have the creative capacity. They don't have the capacity for love. They are not human as a species. And so they don't have the creative spark that humanity has. And that's one of the reasons why we are so valuable and why they are actually afraid of us. Because when you think about it, and I have,
thank you.
They don't outnumber us as far as capacity. I'm not talking about, you know, lining us up in a row and matching us, you know, on the field, so to speak. But in capacity, they're not stronger. So they rely on capturing us and hijacking our will, our volition. We cannot not create. We are creator beings. It's impossible. It's just who we are. It is how we are constructed, and they are not. So that's about the simplest way I can say it, without going into, you know, species, each species, but I think we know, you know, the grays, the reptilians, mm-hmm. The usual lot.
The usual suspects.
The usual suspects.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like all the folks David Icke talks about and, mm-hmm. you know, and offshoots of them. But that's, yeah, it makes humanity really, really
wonderful. Thank you for that backstory. So speaking of sovereignty, how does the human who walks the earth today remember who they actually are and how to be in that state of being a sovereign being all the time with all of this stuff going on around them?
It's such a critical thing to ask. It's absolutely vital. The real point I want to make with this is that they know the opposition, those that want us on the timeline of their creation, want us to create the hell on earth much. They know who we are. Okay. They know we are sovereign creator beings. It's we who are operating behind the veil of amnesia. So you tell me, they've got all the tools at their disposal. They are in full awareness. We operate under the veil of amnesia. It's like having our hands tied behind our backs. We're blindfolded.
Distracted.
Yeah, fragmented. And you tell me how that's a fair playing field? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, in the game of golf, those who are really good play with a handicap. So they start out behind, mm-hmm. So that it evens up. Well, if this isn't an even playing field, then who's actually the stronger being or the superior being in not the egoic sense, but mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
well said, right.
So bearing that in mind, the remembrance is so critical. And I love that you use the word remember. That was one that I remember a movie from, I think it was the 90s, one of my son's views, Iron Giant. It's a good little movie, you know, as far as kids' movies go, with adult themes as well woven in there. And the point of it came at the very end, and I'm going to give it away. So if you haven't seen it, like, pause,
spoiler alert.
Skip ahead. Yeah, spoiler alert. The Iron Giant gets blown up. After he's been scattered around in a period of time, a part of him starts to beep, wake up. And that beep sends a signal to all the other parts of him that have been scattered. And he starts pulling himself back together. So it is a remember. Mm-hmm. The members, the parts of our bodies, we are pulling ourselves back together when we remember. Mm-hmm. And the sovereignty is in, we gain the strength. We are sovereign. We're not ever. We just don't remember it. So when we pull ourselves together, that enforces our sovereignty. Now, for me, what was critical was reminding myself, because I knew they knew. It was me who had forgotten. So I began making declarations, beginning with, as an infinite sovereign creator being, I'm making myself a cup of coffee. As an infinite sovereign creator being, I'm brushing my teeth.
Brilliant.
As an infinite sovereign creator being, I'm getting in my car and I'm driving down the street. So it sounds a bit silly putting a post-it note on your bathroom mirror, but it is the constant reaffirmation. It is bringing to my awareness who I am. And it is making, in addition, a declaration to those beings that would have me keep forgetting that I am remembering. So
in every sense of the word.
Yeah. So it works on a few different levels, but it's critical to help yourself remember. It's not just for the big stuff. It is for everything. So
simply profoundly powerful.
It is, it is. And I wanted to share, just kind of pop this in here really quick, that one of the areas that I first applied this in was my sleep. My sleep was very, very imposed upon. I would sleep in terror. I would wake from nightmares. I would feel like I was carrying the energy of them into my days, like just a nasty energy. At the end of the day, put my head back on the pillow and I would drop back into the same dream. It's not sustainable. It wasn't sustainable. So I began to declare when I went to sleep at night, as an infinite sovereign being, I declare that no one, no being, no thing that does not love me entirely can be anywhere near me during my sleep state. And then I developed a declaration for when I woke in the morning that healed, concluded, and collapsed my dreams.
Oh, I like that.
And then I would reclaim all the energy that belonged to me and return all the energy that did not belong to me. And that slowly, it made an immediate difference. And over time, it has gone a long way to reintegrating, to reintegrating me.
That's a brilliant share. So it's basically all about revoking consent.
It is. And, you know, it's, I like to say withdrawing, in terms of when we talk about consent, there are a couple of things that are in motion with that. And I love this topic too. It is important to understand the distinctions that consent is an agreement of minds. That is a legal definition. That is a legal term. I wrote it down somewhere there. I mean, there, I wrote a blog piece on that a number of years ago that I'm happy to refer to, you know, in show notes or something. But we have fallen in this construct under what is really implied consent. And we've lost so many wonderful adages in the last, I don't know, since I was a kid anyway. One of the ones that I grew up with was silence implies consent. If you don't say no, the implication is yes, that you are in agreement. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really get that until I was,
that's huge,
coming into this understanding of the function of consent. How is it that these things were happening? How is it that I agreed to these? And what if maybe I didn't agree, but I didn't say no? And so much of what is happening in our world today operates under implied consent. Mm-hmm. We are shown in movies and in music and in all the, in much of the news, it is a narrative. It's a story that we're being told. Again, Home Shopping Network. Mm-hmm. Here's, you know, this narrative is for sale. Are you going to buy it as the truth? And when we buy it, we have contributed our consent, and therefore, the imposition then can continue to function as they are. So, withdrawing, with revoking, consent is absolutely critical. I feel wherever we see any imposition. This past summer we had fires in the area that I was in, and I withdrew any and all implied consent to the unnatural elements that were at play, and I declared myself in support of the natural elements. So I wasn't interfering in the weather so much as telling the imposition, you have no right. You are absolutely without right to be imposing your will upon the land in this way.
I love that. So let me just ask you this. So I see movies, or have seen movies throughout the decades, where it feels like they're disclosing information, you know, mm-hmm. basically saying, here, this is what we're doing. And I don't hear anybody saying, no, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. So are you saying if somebody is watching a movie, you know, where they feel uncomfortable about the energy that's being projected from that movie, they can just make the statement that you just made and actually mm-hmm. change that?
Yeah, I am not in agreement. I am not in agreement with this story. I am not in agreement with co-creating that. There's there's a way where if we consider it like going shopping, you know, we can window browse, we can go in a store and we can browse, and we can look at all the items that are being offered for sale. And we can walk out with one of those items, or we can walk out with nothing. We don't have to buy into it to observe it. I've also declared that the images that have been implanted, now this is really important as well, the images that have been implanted, we don't recognize so much that we can work with dissolving the images, I guess is a good way to put it. I am not attached to those images. I do not connect with them. I recognize that they have been implanted for future use in creating the narratives that they want. Mm-hmm. So this all goes into programming. And I, as a biological being, am going to absorb what I participate in. You know, we just can't not. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the awareness that we actually have say over what it is that remains within us is something that we haven't quite gotten to yet, but it's something that I work with all the time. I just look at, okay, so I'm feeling uncomfortable with this. What's that about? Is there an image involved? I mean, and it's like, I don't go at it like a technician. It's just an inner review of my landscape. My inner landscape tells me what's going on. And when I recognize that I am not comfortable with something, I know that there's something inward there that's it's playing off of, right? There's mm-hmm. the dissonance has to play off of something. And so knowing just the dissonance is enough itself. I'm not saying we have to go and identify each and everything. That's very tedious.
Take a while.
Take a very long while. So I tend to just make the blanket statements. As an infinite sovereign creator being, I am not at the mercy of these images. I do not consent to them remaining within my active files. Any whatever languaging that you can come up with, because it's got to be true to you. It's right. Like you can take what I say and then make it your own.
So you're basically dissolving any residual energetic packages that were left behind from the images or whatever it was that made you feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm going to give you an example in the series Black Mirror.
Oh, yes.
Which is a very dramatic depiction mm-hmm. of what's planned for us. Mm-hmm. And there are some horrible images for me that were very disturbing. Mm-hmm. And I had absolutely no intention of allowing those images to remain.
So I stopped watching that series. So would you say that for people who are on a similar path where we're waking up, we are actively working on being the remembrance of the sovereignty that we naturally are, would it be beneficial for us to watch a show like The Black Mirror and actually participate in dissolving the consent that any of us had with having those images create any kind of timeline?
If you're inclined to do that, I think that's a fantastic thought. And I can see very clearly that there are those for whom that would be a very appealing thing to do, as in, this is how I can participate. This is something that I can do. I can facilitate doing this. And the intention in doing that is so important. I know that there are those that are very specific when they sit down in front of a movie that they're uncertain. I mean, maybe even any movie at all, I can't say for sure, but when they're uncertain of the images that they're going to see or the content, but they have an idea, they will up front state an intention that this does not affect me. I do not take this on. I do not consent to participating in the co-creation of this narrative. So it has everything to do with intention and also energetically protecting yourself, recognizing that you're going to be seeing images that you don't actually wish to imbibe, you know, really fully take in. You can observe them just like I mentioned, you know, as shopping, you can observe the object without actually walking out of the store with it.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Into it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be fantastic for those, yeah, who feel called to do that. Mm.
Okay, so when we are talking about consent and we're watching something from the Black Mirror, for example, and we can see the synthetic timeline that that's trying to create, what else could we do to, it just seems like there's so much going on here. You know, when you're just sitting down to watch a show like that, it could be a little bit overwhelming, especially for someone who's just starting out. So they can set the intention. They can make sure that there's no residual energetic baggage left over from the images that they were viewing. But how do they know if they're actually on a synthetic timeline or on their own natural organic timeline after watching something like that?
It's got to be the inner resonance. So, it feeling where you feel agitation. Now, the agitation can come from viewing something that is not congruent with you. Do you know what I mean? That's resonant. So, so you've got actually two things at play there. If you're not aware enough of yourself and your relationship to your viewing, then I would caution you to be very, you know, extra attentive as you do. You know, even if you wrap yourself in your magic blanket or something that's tangible,
whatever works for you
that's tangible, that you can't, that is immediately reminding you of your space, that this is, that you are anchoring yourself in your space as you're entering, watching another dimension, really. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think, maintaining your awareness. When you find yourself, there are moments when we find ourselves, the music will catch us, the rhythm of, you know, there's a lot of entrainment in shows. So the moment you catch yourself kind of leaning forward, feeling yourself drawn into the story, you have to pull yourself back and observe, you know, just back into that observer space.
Okay.
And be really clear about what your intention is when you engage with shows like that.
So you're noticing any level of discomfort or any kind of pull into buying into the narrative.
Yes. When you get upset about it, it's triggered you in some way. And the trigger actually is going to point you, and this goes off on a bit of a tangent here, but I think it's important to go ahead and bring this
please.
Part in.
Yeah, please
do. That when you're triggered, it identifies a fragmented aspect of your being. The fragments occur when we're traumatized. Most of it happens when we're children at our most vulnerable, and then kind of builds as we grow. And in my experience, what I found, this was my kind of aha moment, was a Saturday morning a few years ago at home, journaling, having my morning coffee. And I just had this overwhelming cacophony in my head of things to do and things that I hadn't done. And just so many things I was overwhelmed. And I tried pushing, you know, silence the mind so I could focus on one thing at a time. And I gave up and I said, fine, I'm sitting here. Tell me everything. Like, just give it to me. Whatever my mind wanted to tell me, like, just bring it on. And I sat silently And what I recognized, what was happening, was that it was as if there was a line, a queue, outside my front door of fragmented aspects of me that were waiting to come home.
Wow.
And I had kept the door closed. And I'm like, not now, not now. No, not today, not now. And, you know, these are painful things. These mm-hmm. fragments represent, because they're traumatic, mm-hmm. it's pain that we do. We're not going to go, yeah, sure, I'll take on that all that pain today. Yeah, no problem. That's fun.
Yeah, right. But those of us who are persistent enough.
Yeah. So I went, okay, oh my gosh, look at what I had done. I had prevented fragments of me from reintegrating because I wasn't ready to deal with the pain. And what I did was I exacerbated the pain by keeping them at bay, keeping the fragments at bay. So this headset thing is a little new to me. So I apologize for the sound interference there for a moment. So I opened the door, and it was like there was a mad rush of fragments, you know, and I'm like, okay, hang on, you got to take a number, because this is a fair few.
Yeah,
it was overwhelming. So I sat there for actually a few hours, just breathing and crying and breathing and crying and reintegrating. And that reintegration experience, I think, is unique for each one of us, as in what it feels like for me isn't necessarily what it feels like for you. But for me, it's deep, deep yawns, you know, yawning just so wide, you know, I think my jaw is going to come unhinged. There are energy flushes. My body will flush with energy. Heat may or may not be a part of it, but it's, you know, a bit of the shivers. And tears, you know, tears to the point where the tears will continue until the reintegration is complete. And then there's just this quiet calm, this quiet peace. So I've worked for a number of years driving, you know, sometimes something will happen. Somebody cuts you off and you're like, grr. And you're like, what the heck? Where did that come from? So it's not even necessarily knowing what the fragment is to call it home. It's like, come on home, baby. Just come on home. It's okay. And in a way, it's acting as a parent to yourself, as the fragment most likely was in childhood again. So treating that fragment as a child, but the fragment of you needs tenderness, and to greet it with tenderness. It's okay now. It's okay to come home. Let's do it. So so bringing that back to the watching a show, when we're triggered, something upsets us, we can grasp that that's a timeline that we don't want to participate in creating. We withdraw consent from creating that timeline. I see you. No, thank you. No, thank you. You are without right. I withdraw any and all consent, real, implied, inferred, what do you know, imagined. You can do whatever you want with it. But you are stating, as an infinite sovereign being, I am making this declaration, I'm making this statement, where I stand and what I'm affirming.
So that's that's just a very powerful, and people talk about empowerment all the time. I hear that word used so often, but that is true empowerment, bringing all those pieces of yourself back in so that you're actually whole. So that you can make choices from that space. Because when you're saying, I'm sovereign and I do not consent to this, but you're saying it from a place with so much emptiness,
it doesn't have as much punch. You know, it's still true, right. But it doesn't have as much punch. Yeah. And so noticing that it can be the timeline that you're responding to, reacting to, but it's also noticing that the trigger points to a wound, and that wound is representative of the fragmented aspect of you. And that's the fragment going, hello, here I am. Can I come home now? So it's a moment where the imposition in pushing a button, triggering you, is counting on you not getting that it's a fragment waiting to come home. That a fragment, it's like they've opened the door and the fragment goes, hey, hey, here I am. Bringing the fragment home reintegrates you. It gives the imposition one less button to push. And they've also lost one of the chips in their game. So it's a double-edged sword. When they push one of your buttons, it's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged game that they're playing. They're hoping that we won't remember to reintegrate the fragment.
Very tricky.
Okay. So we're like, hey, thanks imposition for triggering me. Because you just helped me find the fragment.
Just flip that around.
Just flip that around, baby.
I love that. I really, that puts a whole new spin on it. And you don't even have to know, you know, the backstory behind what happened with this fractured piece of yourself.
No, you don't.
It's not beneficial.
It's not absolutely critical. You can always ask, you can always talk to the fragment and say, tell me everything, whatever you need to tell me, I'm here to listen. But you don't have, in my experience, and I am not a trained therapist, but I have gone the route of deep excavation, and it takes time. And it's also reliving a lot of the trauma. And I'm not fully an advocate of that. And especially right at this point in time, the acceleration that we are experiencing really doesn't allow. We need more nimble tools. Okay, excavators were for a different point in time. Yes, they were valuable. I'm not going to say otherwise. But we must be more, we must engage with the more nimble tools. And I think we're ready for that.
I like that a lot. Thank you for that. Because if it's not easy and fun, you know, it's locking us down and taking us in a direction. And it can be used as another source of distraction too.
I agree. Yeah. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly. Fun is so underrated.
Amen, sister. Oh, excuse me. I don't really want to use that word, but whatever.
Oh,
that
right.
Was. Yes, I agree with that. Whoops. A little something thrown in there.
Right.
So, okay. So here we are. We have now had a really great input from you about how to become more aware of what we're feeling and the timeline that we're on, and withdrawing any kind of consent that we have, noticing our triggers. And so once we've kind of started pulling all these pieces together, how can we start to actively create the natural organic timeline that is filled with more fun and more ease, you know, that supports our natural evolution?
Absolutely. And forgive me, if there was a question in there, I missed it. I adjusted my headset, so.
it's simply, how do we create our natural organic timeline, you know,
okay,
from a space of fun and ease, now that we have all these great new tools from you?
That's an awesome question. And I think one that is absolutely worth asking for. And I think that is the question that we have really all been seeking from the moment we started seeking. It's really where is the resonance? Where am I going to find the wholeness that allows me to express all of who I am? And I'm going to say something that's not going to be exactly popular.
Wonderful. I love it.
And that is that because we're at this point in time, all of what we've been through is for this moment. And this is something that I, you know, just like everyone else, I have questioned and wrestled with what this is all about, what it is, what's the point. And one of the things that I arrived at was the recognition that many of us are wrapping up our time on this planet, our experience with this planet, the solar system, galactic system, even this universe. I mean, I, for one, will be taking a lot closer look at the fine print before I accept the next invitation to join a party in somebody yes. else's universe.
Yes, agreed.
That's one of the lessons I've learned.
You have become more wise. Or a little bit more aware.
A little more aware, you know. Yeah, wiser, hopefully. With that in mind, what I feel and I've observed that many of us have done is we have loaded up our plates for this incarnation to resolve as many loose ends as we could possibly jam in so that we can make this final exit. Mm-hmm. And that makes for a bit of a messy life. It's not always congruent. We don't always take the sequential route. We seem to hopscotch. We, you know, start and stop and question, and we get knocked down and we get back up and then only to be knocked down again. And it's been a rough road. And looking at what that was about, I really came to recognize, hang on, okay, so going to the end game and working my way back made it a little bit more evident at all the things that I had done and wrapped up. Sometimes it feels like can of worms was opened, but it's not. It's in terms of like karma creation. It's like, oh my gosh, did I just create more karma? Well, I think karma is part of the synthetic matrix anyway. And sorry, guys, you know, anybody who's
agreed
that, you know, I was 15. I'm like, karma coil. No, don't know how I knew it. I just was like, no,
I do not consent.
Do not consent. No. So that's going to, recognizing our intention for this incarnation to wrap up so many loose ends, to get through a lot of stuff, anything that's needs tidying up, where we're really getting into the cracks and crevices of our beings to wrap up as much as we can. And that's not to say that we're not on our organic timeline, our originally intended organic timeline. We do get bumped off. And the more fragmented we are, the more we're going to be surfing timelines. So like right now, in this time, when there are so many timelines that are vying for primacy, as I said earlier, the imposition can, when they trigger us, I think it bumps us off onto a different timeline. When we pull ourselves back together, we're on another timeline. So recognizing that it's not unlike surfing in a way, where you're riding a wave and you go, you know, you dip, dive and dodge and, you know, ride. It depends on what's coming up in your life. If you aren't aware of what you're reacting to or what you're responding to, you're going to be taken for a ride on the different timelines. So recognizing where you are, and it's not right and wrong. It's not about right and wrong. It's about observation, observing yourself, pulling yourself back and going, reorienting, just that deep breath, that centering breath, bring you back and go, okay, what do I choose now? As an infinite sovereign being, right now, I am going to choose to cry my eyes out because this really sucks. This hurts. This is painful. And I'm going to recognize it. I'll find my fragments, we'll pull them together, and we'll move on from there. the next step will come. It's okay.
Love what you said about it's not right or wrong, right? It's just part of the adventure.
Yeah, it is. And the integrity, again, pulling ourselves back together, the more integrated we are, the more we will remain on our organic, originally intended organic timeline terminology that I use. But the harder it'll be to knock us off the horse, if you want to say it that way.
Yeah. So what I'm gathering from what you're saying is kind of like having an open communication with your future self, so to speak, right?
Indeed. Yeah.
And then talking about, you know, where is it that we're headed? What's the easiest, most fun way to get there, and kind of letting that energy pull us in that direction.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I love that you brought that up. I recently was considering, you know, intermittently reaching out to my future self, seeing how far, you know, can I bring us a step closer? Any words of wisdom?
Right. Help me out here.
And this time I felt her even closer than I ever had before. So that was pretty cool. But recognizing that we have, I want to say something about that. We have the capacity right now to look back at any point in our life for a nodal point, something that was very specific, very in particularly a turning point of some sort, whether we accepted a proposition that wasn't in our best interest, a job that we really didn't want to take, but we did because we needed, you know, we needed to provide for our families, or we went on a date that didn't work out, you know, or we agreed to help at a function when we really didn't have the time. Any time where we feel there was a turning point, mm-hmm. as our beings right now, looking back, this is my future self to me yesterday, even. And I can go back and I can talk to me as my future self.
Love it.
So we can carry comfort backwards as well as when we're looking forward to connect, to energetically feel the magnetism to the future self that has actually completed our journey, you know, as we intended.
That feels amazing. Liberation there. Yes. Give me more of that.
Yes. Yeah. Little time travel.
Yeah. How fun. Thank you so much, Allison. You have shared so many incredible large nuggets of wisdom today. And having personally worked with you as my mentor, I cannot say verbally how amazing each experience has been with you. You are just truly a well-earthed woman who is in touch with so many aspects of herself, and that comes through in the work that you do with other people. And I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you for that. If you have anything that you could share with the people who are listening today about how to reach out to you and anything that you would like to share with them, I would love to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheen. It's been an absolute delight to be sharing life with you in these exciting times.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being here with me.
Yes, thank you. So delighted to receive your invitation. My website is living-fidelity.life. So I'll say that again a little bit slower. Living-fidelity. So three words run together, .life. And that is the home where I'm developing my work. And it is about reintegration. It is about different ways of reintegrating so that we can be whole. We can be our authentic selves, our wonderful, amazing beings.
Now is the time.
I really would love to share with anyone who is interested that's listening, and I'll provide a link to you after the show for posting. And that's the declaration that I use when I wake up every morning for healing and collapsing my dreams.
Yes, please.
And reclaiming the energy that belongs to me and returning that which doesn't. I use it still. I've done that every morning before I leave my bed. And it's just one of those hygiene type of things that doesn't take but, you know, a minute. Of course, I have it memorized, but, you know, you make it your own. And I feel that that's one easy step in reclaiming our sovereignty. So I'm really happy to have the opportunity to share that with more.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I will be taking that up as my new challenge every day, waking up with this incredible statement, because like everybody else, I know that imposition visits me and I'm through with that. Yeah. I do not consent.
Do not consent. No. Nope.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Allison. I really appreciate it. I look forward to having you back in the future. So thank you again for joining us.
My absolute pleasure, Sheen. Right.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode from Awareness Evolution, where taboo topics and fresh ideas emerge. Subscribe today to be the first to hear from more surprise guests that are sure to create more awareness and lots more fun in your life. And be sure to go to my website at www.awarenessevolution.fun. That's F-U-N. To download your free heart energy expanding audio that leads you through a quantum jump into a reality you choose that is filled with ease and joy. Thank you for listening. My hope is that you gained access to new wisdom today that will somehow create positive change in your life. Today's broadcast has been brought to you by Essential Oils by Nature, the only oils on the planet tested for purity and safety by using an average of 176 analyses on the life of a single oil. You and your family deserve only the most pure, most potent, and most effective oils on earth. Essential Oils by Nature takes great pride in representing only the best for you. Please visit www.eobynature.com. Again, that's eobynature.com to get your oils today.